Blog Talk Radio.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in on today. This is the Focus Factor, where we motivate a movement and empower you to soar. I am your host, Stacey Johnson. I am the founder of Women of Vision Global Network, and I have my co-host on the line, Tiffany Hunter of X God Made Next. Tiffany, your mic is opening up. Are you there, Tiffany?
Hey, everybody. Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Wonderful. I'm gonna place her on mute for a moment. So let's get started with our regular house rules. This is open floor, and we're going to respect everyone's opinion. This is a safe place to communicate. We do not get political on this line. We save that for CNN and all the other news channels. Let them go ahead and do it. But we are here to encourage, inspire, and to empower. So if you want to call in and be a part of this show, if you have a question, you have a comment, or, you know, you just something hit you real fast and you want to just say what you need to say and tell your truth a little bit, you can call in at 516-595-8287. Again, that call-in number is 516-595-8287. So let's do a little recap of last week's show, which was, I think it was absolutely phenomenal. It was phenomenal. I mean, I got so much out of last week. So last week we talked about, and we're still talking about developing a roadmap to your purpose, because I don't think you just, you know, wake up one morning, you just walk straight into your purpose. You need a roadmap. You need a strategy. You need to have a set pattern of, you know, what your purpose is, but how are you going to get there? How are you going to accomplish that? And one of the ways or one of the strategies is to, we're identifying now when you are self-sabotaging yourself, you know, those things that are holding you back. And the self-sabotaging tactics that we talked about last week, one of them was past trauma. Nothing ever happens good to me. We talked about how, you know, you can have two things happen in your life that can keep you from moving forward. And then when something good comes along, because you're a little shell-shocked, you're a little apprehensive about moving forward because you're always stuck in the past. So past trauma is one. And then the other one was I'm not in control of the situation. We also talked about how sometimes we feel we have to be in control of everything that's going on in our lives. And when we don't feel control, we don't want to move. So we stay stagnant. Another one was trusting people who agree with our fears and not trusting the process. Being okay with those people that want to condone our mess or amen our lows or keep us in that low, and not really trusting the process that life itself is a process. I don't know anything that's comfortable in this life. Even if you have lots of money, there are situations that are just not comfortable. You're going to have to go through something. So not trusting the process, your personal growth process. I think everybody goes through that growth process. We talked about being prideful and just downright hard-headed. You're just not going to do it. You're too stubborn to move forward. You like where you are. You're going to continue to do the same thing over and over. Some people don't like to try new things. Some people have a problem with change and transition that keeps them stuck, and they don't want to move because it's good right here. I'm comfortable right here. I want to stay right here. And that can be a form of self-sabotaging, because if God has something else for you that he wants you to reach for, you want to stay right where you are because you're nice and comfortable. Getting stuck in what people think you should do is another one we talked about last week. Getting stuck in what people think you should do, not really owning who you are, because we talked about if you don't know your truth, they don't mind telling you your truth if you don't know your own truth, or if you don't know who you are, people will develop an identity for you. We talked about people that have an ear to hear your heart, but behind the scenes, they are stealing your vision. We talked about not sharing so much. Don't always put yourself out there. It's best to protect yourself. And what I mean by that God can give you a vision, but when you have your vision, make sure you write it down. Make sure that you go through the necessary steps in securing your vision before you share it with other people, especially if you don't have the motivation or the finances or whatever it takes to move the vision forward. Sometimes it needs to stay tucked in a place within yourself until God can work it out in you, and then it's time to share it. We talked about last week playing on the bottom level, not wanting to advance to the next level, not wanting success, but staying right there in that comfortable place. We talked about quitting too soon when things don't go your way. when it doesn't go like I want it to go, then I'm going to stop. When it doesn't look like how I want it to look, then I'm going to stand still. When it doesn't feel like I want it to feel, now I'm going to stay right where I am. And those are some of the things we talked about. Before we move forward, we have a few callers on the line. But before I move forward, let's talk about some of the empowerment nuggets that we gave you. And one of them was do some self-reflection. Identify the root causes and face your fears. Stop making excuses. Recognize and stay clear from the dream snatchers. Those are good. Recognize and stay clear from the dream snatchers. What is a dream snatcher? Those people that are so negative that they want to keep you in that negative place. They don't have constructive criticism, but they're criticizing everything that you do, everything that you say, telling you what you can't do. Even though you may feel you can do it, they're holding you back. So visionaries have more than one vision, but the key to success is choose one thing at a time and work on it. If you try to work on 10 things at the same time, it's easy to get frustrated and quit. Sometimes busyness can be a sabotage. Busyness can be self-sabotage. And I just want to open up the mic real quick, and I want to welcome Bob to the show. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, good day, ladies. Thanks for taking my call. I had so much fun last week. That was absolute awesome sharing.
Good. I just wanted you to give a hearty welcome to the ladies, and we're gonna move on because we have another hot topic I think you'll be interested in. Welcome to the show, okay? He was awesome, awesome, awesome last week, and so let's move on. So the thing I want to talk about today, and we're still talking about self-sabotaging and what that looks like. When I went over last week, what hit me the most was the hidden triggers of emotions. The hidden triggers of emotions. When we're self-sabotaging, sometimes we don't really realize that we're doing it. We have done it so much, and it doesn't have to come from without. Sometimes the sabotage comes from within. So let's talk about hidden triggers of emotions. So what is a trigger? Let's talk about that, because people are getting triggered and they don't know that they're being triggered. So what's an emotional trigger? So emotional triggers stem from a negative experience in our past or present. They are sudden and painful reminders of negative incidences in our past that stirs up powerful emotions. Now, listen to this. These feelings can come to surface when you're faced with a similar position or situation, and if not dealt with, can overwhelm and control you. That's powerful. That's telling me that something can happen in my past that was so painful, and it stirred up the negative emotion when it happens, and then I can grow up, or 5 years from now, I can be in a situation or in a current position that reminds my feelings or my emotions or something that I went through way back then or maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and those same hidden feelings come back, and now I'm right in that same place. That's called a trigger. That's an emotional trigger. And sometimes when we're pushing through to when we're pushing to our purpose or on our way to our purpose, we're going to experience a multitude of feelings and emotions, and some of those feelings and emotions are not going to be positive. I think sometimes we're going to get approached with things from our past in order to overcome them, but sometimes we don't overcome them. Sometimes we get stagnated right in that feeling. We get stagnated right in that emotion, and then we stop. So your inner emotions are attached to your feelings, and your feelings dictate how you respond and act. So some people just stop. They won't do it. They quit. Some people get stuck right there, and they don't quit, but they don't advance. They don't get past that hump. They don't press towards something greater. If it's good, they stay right there on the level. They don't want to go up to the next step. They don't want to go. They don't want to go higher. They stay right there. And these are some of the things people say. Well, I'm not. You know, I don't have emotional triggers. I'm okay. My feelings are fine. And look at some of these things to let you know how you've been triggered a little bit, or if this is you. You feel anxious when someone leaves you. Listen to this. You think that a person is not listening to you. You feel helpless over situations when you have no control. Same stuff. You don't feel valued or appreciated. You feel you are not good enough. You think that you're being judged all the time. You feel belittled and worthless. You feel controlled by someone. All of these stir up that little thing called anxiety, and anxiety is just that strong desire mixed with doubt and fear, and it's a real uneasiness. It makes you feel overwhelmed and gives you that strong sense of apprehension. And these are the emotional triggers that can tend to stagnate us where we need to go if our feelings and emotions are not intact. So I'm going to open up the mic to that one, because that right there is powerful when we talk about hidden emotions, those triggers, those things that stop us from moving forward into our purpose. And I like, you know, last week, I believe it what Bob said, that when he had all of these, and I'm going to let him tell it, when he had all of these things, but he wasn't happy with all these things. And when he lost these things, he had to learn how to be content. And in being content, he had to go back and recognize why he was, you know, feeling like he was feeling. And I think the first thing in overcoming my own emotions, and I'm speaking personally and everybody else, to overcome your emotions is to recognize that you have them. Because a lot of people think they're okay, but if you ask them what their purpose is, they don't know. If you ask them why they're not moving in that area, they don't know. If you ask them why they're stuck, they don't know. So all of this stems from your emotions and how to get unstuck. And I'm going to see if Tiffany has any comments on that. I'm going to open up her mic first. Tiffany, you have any comments on anything that I said so far? Your mic is open.
Hey, everything that you said was great, and I think it's important that a lot of us recognize. I think sometimes we don't even realize and know that we have an emotional trigger until something actually happens. You know, I went through that situation myself of thinking I was so over some situations, and then I realized going back, like, wow, something emotionally triggered me that I thought I was over and done with, but it's still sitting here. And I think that's really good that you had brought that up and pointed this out, because a lot of people don't quite know yet that they even still carry something from their past that they thought that they completely let go. So I'm excited to hear a lot more about this and everyone else's feedback as well with the emotional triggers that stem from a negative experience from our past. But that's really good with everything that you had said.
So I'm gonna go ahead and leave your mic open, and you mute yourself out on your leisure, because I know she's busy doing some things on this beautiful day. And I thank everyone for tuning in on this beautiful day. But one of the things that we had talked about when we self-sabotage is changing your perspective on how you see things. And we can walk around like we are okay. And like you said, Tiffany, you didn't realize that you didn't overcome these things, or you weren't healed by these things until something big happened and you found yourself right in that same place emotionally, which most people do. How did you get out of that, or how are you yet coming out of that?
I think last week's show actually really helped when Bob had gave a lot of his life experience and everything that he had gone through with, you know, giving the advice of making sure we give back everything to everything that people try to throw on us. And that was really good. And I had to give some of that back. And another thing, too, was, you know, writing that letter and putting everything out on the paper. One of my things that, you know, one of my emotional triggers was just the not having the presence of my father the way that I would have. And that emotional trigger, you know, had me having a problem with the way that men think, the feeling like, you know, I wasn't as worthy, and not being able to accept worth that was told to me because I felt like my father was just more into my son. And, I mean, not my son, but into my brother. And so it just seemed like, you know, he just got along better with my brother instead of me. And so a lot of those, you know, things I was dealing with and didn't know until actually being in a relationship with my husband and different things happening and realizing, like, okay, where is this, you know, fury coming from? Where is this anger coming from? You know, why do I feel like this? Or why can't I respect, you know, his opinion or his thought for something and it be okay? And then I realized, you know, it was something that I dealt with in my past and, you know, not having dealt that out with my father. So, you know, one of the things I had to go back to was, you know, I had to do like, you know, Bob said, and, you know, get that paper, get that pen, write it out, and then also just releasing it. I had to release it, which for me was back to God and letting go.
Okay, so you had to, I heard you say you had to write it out. First you had to go back and realize, and then you had to write it out, which means you had to really do some self-reflection, some digging, some soul searching.
Right.
Why do I feel like this? And then once you wrote it down, then you did some reflection on the pain itself, which means you got it. Even though you write it down, you got to get deep when you write it down, because
you are
analyzing that thing. Like, wow, this is this, and hurt and anger and confusion. And I heard you mention your father. Then you mentioned your brother. So you're going through the process. And remember, we talked about people don't want to go through their growth process, that process of really identifying that pain and going through that pain. And because you can't let it go unless you identify with it. Because I think last week we talked about that being your truth. People want truth, but they don't want truth. Because when you tell your own truth, that means you have to connect with the hurt that goes with that truth. You have to connect with that peace that helped make you, that peace that helped form you. Everybody wants to cling to the good, but there is also a peace that is not so good that people don't like to cling to. And once you write it down, then you can say, okay, now I can let this thing go. Correct?
And that is correct. Yeah.
We have another caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and open up her mic. 706, are you there?
I am. Yes, ma'am, I do. I was just reflecting on a life experience I had when I was a young person and my mom passed away. It seemed like when, you know, people would always ask you questions about your mom and you say, she's not here, she passed away, how they respond sometimes, it would sometimes leave you feeling like something was, you know, wrong with you because your mom passed away. But as I got older into my adulthood, and it wasn't in my early 20s, but probably in my 30s, you know, people still respond the same way to you telling them that my mom's not here, that she passed away. But it didn't hit me the same way any longer. When I was a girl and in my early 20s and to my early 30s, when people said, oh, your mom's passed away, it made me feel some kind of way, like I wasn't complete in some way because I didn't have my mom and I was raised in a single parent household. But then when I got to that point in life when I found out her not being here had nothing to do with who I was and who I was to be, then I got okay with it. So I had to there comes a time in life sometimes when we have to sever our identity ties to someone who is not here or someone who has done something in our lives that society would say is a direct reflection on us when it's not.
So I have a question, caller. How long was that process from, I heard you say, from feeling this way when they would say, oh, your mom is not here, to being okay with it? What was the time in between that process? Was it overnight? Was it 2 weeks? Because everybody is different when it comes to terms of their emotions and their feelings and things that trigger them.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely was not overnight, and it took, you know, a long time, you know, decades. But I think also the reason I stayed probably in that place for so long was that it made a difference to me as to who was asking me and responding to my saying she isn't here. So if I had a teacher that I, you know, felt was someone I looked up to, and they responded the same way people who I really didn't care about their opinion responded, then I thought something wasn't right with me because of her response, even though it's the same response as somebody else, who it didn't affect me. So it was a matter of the place that I esteemed and that I held people in as to how it affected me.
Awesome. We have another caller. Bob, your mic is open. Did you have a comment?
Yes, darling. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Good. What springs to heart about what you've been sharing so far is, and again, it all goes back to the childhood, but what other people think of me is none of my business, and my life is none of theirs. You were talking about emotional triggers. Now, for me, how can I put it where I'm at now? Only ego has buttons. After I sort of healed the wounds of childhood, the next thing I tackled was codependency and codependent behavior. And realizing, and this little phrase got me all the way through my journey of healing codependency. And as the lady said, yeah, it doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 20-year journey, but this little phrase got me through it. Unsolicited advice is abuse. No. Because we're all so sovereign, unique, and equal, I am here to live my life my way. And when I'm struggling in my life and being challenged in my life, that is when I learn the most about me, you know. Especially when you're fighting, when I've been fighting for my life, I certainly learned a lot in those hairy moments. So going back to what it felt like as a child, for me, it was a matter of going back and sitting there in silence and just reconnecting with the feelings that I had as a child and feeling those feelings, feeling the terror, feeling the, you know, fright and the anxiety. And then also realizing that at that time, I developed, through the fight and flight syndrome, behaviors that allowed me to survive that abuse. But they became entrained in my subconscious and became the way I operated as an adult. And so now, how often have you heard ladies say, "Wow, I married my dad," or "Hey, yeah, I think I just married my mom." You know, they're still operating on all those old patterns. Now for me, how can I put it? Knowing thyself is the first step to wisdom, and I'm content with me. And people can say what they like to me, but it says more about them than me, because I know that I'm okay. I'm not bragging. I'm no better than anybody else, but I'm content with me. And so many people get their own measure of contentment from external positive strokes, from seeking the acceptance of people around them. Yeah, good old Bob, or good old Stacy, or good old, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only that's the only measure they have of their own self-esteem. They're getting it from external sources, which just goes back to the old carrot. You know, you got to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, how can you love another? And if you don't love yourself and accept yourself, then you're going to be vulnerable to external attack, because you believe that their opinion of you is what you are. Sorry, no, no.
So let's go back a little bit. You mentioned codependent behavior. A lot of people don't recognize that they have codependent behavior.
Well,
and you talked a lot about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, if you want to know what codependent behavior is, listen to any love song. My life is empty without you, babe. You're my world, you are my night and day. You're my prayer, you're every move I make. And, you know, that's codependency. I am the only one that can complete me, and that's my job, to complete me. I don't need another person. Nobody else outside of me can complete me.
That is so true. And I think we have the tendency of looking to other people to help us with ourselves. We tend to look at and let's look at some of our children. They tend to pattern themselves from what they see on TV to be completed, and if they don't match up to the image that they see on TV, then they don't feel completed, and they go into this state of insecurity. But if I can connect with that person on TV, and if I can act like this person, and I need this one and that one, then I feel completed. And I like what you said, know yourself to thine own self. Be true, because to be honest with you, this is an individual walk. We have to do this ourselves. We have to get it for ourselves. You know, people around us can be a good thing, but connecting sometimes in the wrong way can end up codependent, because codependency is I validate myself on how I see myself connected to you, or I have to be so connected to you, or I won't exist. I have to put forth that effort. I have to push a little harder in your stuff, because that makes me validated in who I am. If I'm not doing something for you, if I'm not tending for you, if my whole world doesn't evolve around you, then, you know, then I feel useless. I feel like I'm nothing. So codependency is a big thing when you're sabotaging yourself on your way to your road, to your purpose, because a lot of times we want to bring people with us. We want to pull those people along, and sometimes on your road to your purpose, you have to let go most of those things. You have to let go most of your past, because you can't take your past into your present. And I like what you said last week, Bob, that if you don't let it go, you end up carrying it with you. And a lot of times we have weights that we carry that end up being unnecessary luggage that is too heavy, and we end up getting stagnated in one spot, because now we have to deal with all this stuff from our past, and we can't move forward because of the stuff that we're carrying. So that's good. Caller 706, did you have something to say? Your mic is still open.
Yes,
I do.
I just wanted to add to that. You know, when it comes to life in general, I notice that we're always okay until someone tells us that we're not okay. And they can say it, but it's up to us whether or not we believe it. But the moment we actually believe what they are saying to us, it puts us in a place. And as, you know, Bob was saying, you know, it's not about what people say about you. It's what you decide to, you know, listen to and allow it to affect your life in that way. And I also had another thought when it comes to self, you know, sabotage. It's like we go through life and we get so good at something that we are considered a master at it on a particular level in life.
Mm-hmm.
But then the thought comes to mind, what do I do next? The self sabotage comes into play when we decide the thing that we do want to do next, but then we ask ourselves, what if I'm not as good at it as I was at the thing I'm doing right now? So how about I just stay right where I am because I'm really good at it instead of, you know, moving to the next? That's all I have.
Mm. Good, good. Bob, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, yeah. It just struck me, I've known it for years, but codependent behavior, for me, the root cause of that is the loss of belief in oneself. And again, I went back to my childhood to try and remember the first time I stopped believing in me. And it was a Sunday morning, and I got up and brushed my teeth and combed my hair and put on my red T-shirt and bounced down to breakfast, you know, feeling really grown up. And I was about 4 3/4 years old, something like that anyway. And the first thing Mum said, Bobby, go upstairs and put on your blue T-shirt because you know you love your blue T-shirt. Anyway, so I stood up, confused, thinking, well, no, I love my red T-shirt. That's why I put it on. But Mum says, I love my blue T-shirt. So she must be right and I must be wrong. And, you know, I don't want to upset Mum because she's big, you know, and she's violent and angry, and I don't want to upset her. So I went upstairs and put on the blue T-shirt. And that's my earliest recollection of me not trusting my inner knowing, my belief in myself.
Mm.
And that became entrained as part of my behavior all through my adult life until I reclaimed my belief in me. And did I tell you that story, how I did that?
Yes, but, you know, the thing of it is, just like the caller said, and I believe she said, I'm good at, you know, what if you had the thought, I'm good at this. I can excel in this area. I'm confident in this area. I'm thriving in this area. Now I'm over in this area, and it scares me that I may not be as good as I am when I was in the other area. And like you said, it goes back to believing in yourself first. And where did that loss of belief from? Is it a confidence thing, or is it, like you said, a belief thing? Because when you don't believe in yourself, then it's easy. Like you said, it was easy for Mom to say, no, go put on the red shirt because that's what you like. And then you said, well, I thought I liked the blue one because I got the blue one on, but she must be right, so I'm going to go put it on. And that's where you felt that you lost something because you really wanted to wear the blue one, but Mom said put on the red one. So where does that where do people get to that place where they can believe in themselves enough to take that first step forward to get over that hurdle when they're self-sabotaging?
Well, what springs to mind, Stacey, is fear is just frozen fun. And success really depends on your own definition of success. And for me, I feel successful because I am content with me. So that is my success. And I'm taking that contentment out into my external life. I'm good at loads of things. I've been gifted with an amazing intellect. I can fix just about anything. You know, I've been from being a fit attorney to a lubrication oil formulation scientist to a depression counsellor to a ship's captain to a folk singer that toured Australia for 10 years. And, you know, I've had an awesome life. But every time I've approached something that felt scary, it's like it's exciting. Now, every fear that I have ever had in my life has just made my life smaller. You know, mm-hmm. the more fears you have, the smaller the box you live in. So for me, when I approach something and it feels a bit scary, you know, I just look at it and say, well, if I do this, am I going to die? You know, yeah. If I do this, is there a chance I'm going to break a leg? And if the answer is no, then I say, well, let's jump in and give it a go and see what happens. Because life is supposed to be an adventure, you know.
And fear is a natural emotion. And there are some things that we fear. We fear, some people fear success, or they fear they're going to mess up. But I like what you said. The bigger the fear, the smaller the box that we live in. So if we look at this fear and we make it this huge thing, we tend to put ourselves in a box. And when we're talking about emotions and feelings, it takes me back to the thoughts that we're thinking. And we need, you know, to gain control over our thoughts and our feelings and find the courage to move forward. And how do you find that courage is to move forward, is just to move forward, you know, fall forward, fear forward. Even though you may be uneasy or it's uncomfortable, but keep moving, like caller 706 said, even though I may be uncomfortable and I may not be able right now to think that I'm going to be as good as this like I was in the other thing, doesn't mean I'm going to stop at it. I'm going to keep doing it. And I think that's the only way we can conquer those fears is to step out there and realize, and like you said, go ahead and reclaim it.
Well, what springs to mind, sorry, what springs to heart, because my mind gets me into all sorts of trouble. But what springs to heart is love is what you're born with. Fear is what you learn. Now, for me, in my life, there are two types of fear. There's rational fear and irrational fear. Now, rational fears have saved my life many times. So if I go climbing up the mast on a tall ship, I'm afraid of falling. You know, because if I fall from 120 feet and hit the deck, well, the results aren't going to be pretty. But it's the irrational fear that makes me focus on my harness and three-point contact. And so irrational fears have saved my life. But irrational fears about, if I do that, they're going to be upset with me. Or if I do that, you know, I'm not going to be popular with other people. Well, that just stops me following my heart. And I think one of the greatest gifts I've been born with, Stacey, and I love this one, I have this affliction. I was born without a filter between my brain and my mouth. So it's always okay to speak your truth. I'm just here sharing data. Like as Shakespeare said, the greatest love I can give to any man or woman is to simply share my own truth. So I'm sharing data. If you have an emotional response to that information exchange, then that's your responsibility. I'm not responsible for your feelings. You are. You are responsible for taking in that data and then choosing how to respond. So you're responding rather than reacting. And so many people just react. It's a knee-jerk reaction.
My second point was recognize and respond accordingly and not react. A lot of times we react to the emotion, but we need to learn how to respond to the feeling. Like, you know, I used to teach you can't make me feel this way. I make me feel this way. It's how I internalize it, and it's what I do with it on the inside. And it's my thoughts that trigger these feelings. So what do I do with it before it comes out of my mouth, before my body reacts to it? I have to change the way I think about the way I'm feeling. And it's basically I'm deciding what I'm going to do with how I am feeling, and I concentrate on the emotion from a negative perception to a positive perception. So when you respond to something, it's okay. A lot of, and it takes practice. You got to give it some thought, because our first, like you said, fight and flight is to react. That's when you're in fight and flight mode. It's when you start reacting to what is said to you, to what was done to you, to your situation, to things that you see with your senses, what you see, touch, taste, and smell. When you react instantly, that's fight and flight. But when you respond, you're using the other part of your brain. You're thinking about how it's made you feel. You're thinking about your thoughts. You're thinking about the feelings behind the emotion. And then your response should be in a way where that makes you okay with it, but it's not an anger. It's not an aggression. But now I can tell my truth. And now when I'm telling my truth, I have already reclaimed how it made me feel, and now I can move forward. I'm not stuck. When you tell your truth, you're unsticking yourself. And I like what you said, the bigger the fear, the smaller the box that we put ourselves in. So when you start responding, you take yourself out of the box, and now you're walking in your truth, and now you're more positive about the fears that you are so-called facing. And they become stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. I like that.
Well, in my own life, just before going on stage to do a concert, and it happens every time. And this is, how old am I? 68. So this is my 56th year as a paid stage performer. But I'm in the green room, tuning the guitar and getting ready, and talk about anxiety and nerves and butterflies and stuff that's going on, you know. But it's like I'm starting to vibrate at a higher level, and although it feels scary, I need to go through that process, and then I step out on stage, and then I start with a song, and it's the energy that I'm, and the song's coming through me. It's not, you know, it's like I'm a channel for something that's greater than me. It's the emotion and the energy of the song that hits the audience actually before any of the words. It's what I'm radiating on an energetic level. And so without those butterflies, and it's happened a couple of times, without those butterflies, I go on stage and the concert's dead, you know. Because I haven't made that connection. You know, I haven't faced that fear and walked through that anxiety and gone on stage. And, you know, there's thousands of people in front of me. And if I were worried about what they thought of me, then I would just run for the hills, you know. So that, you know, every concert like that is like a little rite of passage. This thing came to me the other day was thinking is the language of the mind, And feeling is the language of the heart. Now, my life, I am the observer of me in my life. So when I when I notice that my life is getting complicated, you know, I know that somehow my mind has slipped back into the driving seat. So I just grab my mind by the scruff of its neck, throw it in the trunk, and put my heart back in the driving seat, and my life is simple again. And
that's good
for me. The universe operates under the KISS principle, doesn't it? Keep it simple, sovereign. Thinking is the weapon of mass distraction, because while you're thinking, you're not feeling, and that goes back to feelings are healings. Okay, I'll shut up for a while now, but I've always got something to say on this stuff because it's so important. It's so important that people find out who they truly are. Because if you don't know who you are, how are you ever going to be what you were born to be?
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
That was deep.
Caller 706, you have a comment?
Yes, I do. I do. This is great. The dialogue is great. Great conversation. I was just sitting here and reflecting, going back a bit on some of the questions and things that have been shared, and was just trying to see if I could pinpoint when things for me in my life started to change, where I became more confident and understanding who I am, and that what people say about me doesn't really define me. And I remember there was something I started to do, and I still do it to this day. So when I find myself in a situation where I may not be totally comfortable with a situation, I continue to, always put forth an effort and to do things. I'm not a person who sits down and quits and fails before I get started. Not anymore. That was my story years ago when I was a teenager. But now that I'm out the gate and God has, shown me that I can do things that I put my mind to, I do them. So what I do in those situations is I keep a mental note of all the times I do things and I have success in them. So when I do something and I fail at it, I can reflect back on how many times I did that or something similar to it, and I was successful at it. And that builds up my confidence in knowing that I'm better at things than I think I am.
That's good. So you said you keep a mental note of all of your successes when you do things that really doesn't turn out like you like it. Because I think when we talk about feelings and emotions and thought patterns, it's really gaining control and finding, like you said, that courage to move into your next season or to move past what you think. And I like what Bob said, that thinking is the language of the mind, but feeling is the language of the heart. And I think he said something to the fact that when his mind is driving, he has to put his mind in the back seat and let his heart take control. And you have to figure out who you are in that situation. I was sitting here thinking, how did I overcome or how did I become comfortable with me? And I think that's the first thing. And we go back to our previous calls, knowing who you are, because it's hard to move forward into your purpose when you still really don't understand who you are. You're not comfortable with you, or other people's opinions always matter, or you always have to put on this persona for somebody to say something. And I think he said something about your ego. Only ego has buttons. You're waiting on somebody to push your ego button to make you feel a certain way. But what if there's nobody around? Now we're in this space where, we're social distancing, and when there's nobody pushing your buttons and nobody's giving you the accolades, and you're not seeing this person to build you up, and you don't have that face to face, and it really
makes you do some soul searching in this time, like, who am I really? How do I put my best foot forward? I was thinking about how did I get comfortable with me? And that was really, I think, like Tiffany said, really sitting down and writing some things out and looking at myself in that mirror, the physical mirror, but the spiritual mirror, and taking a deep look into my heart and being okay with what's there, which means being okay with my shortcomings, being okay with my successes. And either way, regardless of what people think, I'm going to keep moving, because sometimes you can have the successes and people going to say stuff. You can have losses and people going to say stuff. And if you listen to the naysayers or what people say, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it can still put you in some type of place, and you have to be okay with where you are. You have to be comfortable with where you are. I can relate to Bob about, you know, being up on the stage and the butterflies and all the people and looking at the faces. And, you know, people say, oh, I know you're not shy. I know you're not feeling nervous. Every single time I get on the stage, it happens. And one of my mentors told me that a little nervousness helps, because when you think you have it all together, that's when you mess up. That's when you think you've got this thing on lock. But when you are nervous and you take a hold of that nervousness and you go out and you do your best and you know that was your best and that's all you can give, that's when you start to overcome the fear, because it's going to be there every single time, you know, but you keep going. You move forward. You fall forward. And I think once we become comfortable with who we are, it'll be easier to overcome some things. And I like what you said. You keep a mental note. I didn't do so well in this, but I really did well in this. And I think self-talk is real good in this day and age. We need a lot of self-talk, because it's a lot of talk going on, but self-talk is another one that's really good. And Bob said one thing he put in the chat was good boundaries are essential, especially when it comes to boundaries with our thoughts and with our feelings and what we allow in and who we allow ourselves to be around and who we allow ourselves to connect with. You know, that we should have boundaries with our communication. We should have boundaries when we're around people and they're speaking into our life. We should have boundaries where we draw the line, this topic is not up for discussion, or I can't allow you to speak on this or speak on that. So those things are good. Any comments, anyone?
Yeah, one little tool that I use, that has just brought so much contentment into my life is, and it's like a personal mantra, and it's, whatever is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast, and I no longer feed the beast. So as I go through life, anything that's approaching me that doesn't feel nurturing, I don't engage with. And it's my job to meet my needs. So if I go to you and say, hey, oh, you know, can you do this for me? And you say no, I say, well, thank you very much, and move on. Or, you know, and so I never knock on closed doors more than twice, but I always find the door that will open that allows me to meet my needs. And I am the only one that can ever, because we're all unique, I'm the only one in the whole of creation that can ever know what my needs are. But so many people say, oh, I know what you need to do, mate. And I say, well, you know, no thanks for your input, mate, but I'm here to live my life my way, not your way. So, and the other one that I really love is the words that I use. Words have an amazing power, for me anyway. And so for me, my words are my spells, so I do cast them wisely. For the universe is always listening and takes everything I say literally. So, you know, it's the words I choose to use that are actually creating my life experience, my reality. Well, it's a bit deep, isn't it?
That's good.
But it's working for me. And I think that's a challenge for everybody, isn't it? You know, find what puts you in the zone. You know, the next time you're whistling or skipping, just notice what you're doing and do more of that. And then you'll find something else that puts you in the zone. And something else that puts you in the zone. And after a while, I found that I'm spending most of my time just totally blissed out. Because I'm moving from doing one thing that brings me joy to another thing that brings me joy to another thing that brings me joy. Why wouldn't you choose to be joyful?
Yeah. Right. 706, you had a comment?
Yes, I do. I do. I just wanted to kind of, as I was sitting here and reflecting, a few things came to mind. I remember being in my 20s, you know, particularly maybe from the age of like, 18 up until about 28. I felt like I was a spectator in my own life. Like I was on the outside looking in on the sidelines and, you know, taking my lead from everyone else. I think everyone goes through an identity crisis in life where they're not completely certain of who they are and if they're, you know, getting it right. And, you know, during those times and those years, if you don't have someone telling you, yeah, this is how you do it, then you're just not certain if it's right or not. So you kind of wait to get someone else to kind of tell you, someone who you see or you perceive has it all together, to tell you that, yeah, this is how you do it and you do have it all together. Then there came a time, particularly in my 30s, when I just felt like I was taking the lead in my life and becoming an active a participant in my life. And I began to make, decisions and not really care if I was, you know, making the best decision for everybody, but I started to just make best decisions for myself. Because there's, you know, a period of time in life when you are doing what you're doing because you're considering everybody else and you're way down that list. Had to learn that is an unhealthy behavior and it did not get me to the place that I needed to be. And if I did get there, I got there too late. I was always delayed because, and I'm talking about, you know, life in general, not a particular day and a particular appointment, but life in general, you know, getting there too late is a direct result of putting everybody else first and myself last.
That's good. That's good. Now let's go back because I heard a few nuggets there. And one of them were, if it's not nurturing, don't engage. I think that was Bob that says, don't knock on closed doors more than twice. But, you know, some people just keep knocking. I think Tiffany put that in the text. Some people just keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking, trying to force those doors open. And words have amazing power. And we believe that as well, that whatever you speak will manifest in your life. So you have to pay attention to the words that you speak. And then I also heard, pay attention to what puts you in that zone of joy. And that means if this thing is making you happy, pay attention to the feeling that puts you there. And like he said, if it's whistling, if it's singing, if it's coloring, if it's drawing, whatever it is that puts you into that zone, make that a part of your everyday life. Pay attention to what puts you in the zone. And then I heard you say, caller, about the identity crisis. Being a spectator and not a participator. And how do you turn that around? You being your own spectator in your life, but you're not a participator. And how do you participate? And I heard you talk about doing everything for everybody else but yourself, and then flipping that. And you said that's unhealthy behavior, and that is codependency. Doing everything else for everybody else, and you feel validated, but there's still that void there.
and now you flip it around, but now you're participating in your own life, which means you are putting you first, which means that you're taking time out to see where you are and what your truth is. That means, it doesn't mean that you put everybody on the back burner, but now, you know, personally, you have to come first. Your health has to come first. Your needs have to come first. You are in control of your emotions and your thoughts before you can help anybody else iron out their emotions and their thoughts. Your own thoughts and emotions have to be ironed out. So that's good. That's good. You know, and I see Bob put in the chat there, there's always another door. So I'm a firm believer if one door closes, another door opens. But sometimes that door that's closed, we still continue to knock on that same door instead of looking for other avenues to other doors that are open. So I think this is all some good stuff about emotional triggers and what to look for and how to understand yourself and how to operate and how to own your truth, but how to take control of how you're feeling, how to take control of your thoughts, how to take control of your actions, how to just realize that, you know, nobody can make you feel a certain way, that you allow yourself to feel like that. But in allowing yourself to feel that, how to respond instead of react, and telling your mind, knowing when you're in fight and flight, and come out of that and learning to respond instead of reacting. Any thoughts about those things?
Yes. You know, our response to a situation, a comment, is everything. It can take you down the path that you should go, or it can take you to a place that you would not go if you had actually given the situation thought. What I found in life is that a lot of times when I come up short, it's because I've given mm-hmm. either too much thought to a situation. I have a brother, and whenever we play cards and it's my turn to actually play a card, he always would say, if you study long, you study wrong. If you study long, you study wrong. So I have learned to be better at decision making, and not to, you know, ponder and to study something too long, because, yeah, then you do end up, you know, talking yourself out of the right decision and talking yourself into the wrong decision because you gave it too much thought.
I think we've all done that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, Bob said, his mind is what betrays him. If he studies long, he studies wrong, or if he, you know, puts it out there too quickly. Same thing when it comes to the mind. So, you know, Bob is one that allows his heart to lead. For me, I cannot allow my heart to lead because my heart is a little bit on the big side, and it'll cause me to put myself last and everyone else first. So I have to rely on my thought process and the knowledge that I have gained to be able to make the right decisions concerning my life and the life of others. Because if I do what's in my heart, then I'm going to, you know, sometimes get in the way of God. I am a spiritual person, and I pray for people. And I remember, you know, one time when I heard God's voice very, very, very clearly, to the point where it changed how I did things in my life, which it should. And I remember I was always a person who was always, you know, helping people, and I still am. But I remember praying for someone in particular, and I kept praying and kept praying. And I kept praying, and I heard God one day say to me, he says, if you would just move out the way, then I could go ahead and do what it is I'm trying to do. But every time God goes to move to answer my prayer that I asked him for, I get in the way. You know, and that's when I learned my place is not always to help people and to see them through. And there are times when, you know, God is trying to get them to a place and I can't do it, and only God can do it. So I have to move myself out the way.
Mm-hmm. I think Tiffany had a comment. Tiffany, you still there? She was blowing up the chat for a minute.
I have to agree with the caller, actually. I'm one of those people, too. I have such a huge heart and will put myself low, so I'm the same way. But I did. I wanted to, because we were talking about just being okay with knowing, you know, to put yourself first. And for me, one of the things that I struggle with is when we take on new roles in our life, such as becoming a mother and becoming a wife, I find myself hard sometimes to put myself first in some situations. And I don't, and sometimes I feel bad when I choose to put myself first. So, you know, there are other people that I'm sure could relate. And I would, you know, my thing would be, you know, where do you find that balance? And you know, you find yourself, I have found myself having to talk myself into things sometimes, just doing something even for myself. You know, like, it's okay, you know, do something for yourself, you deserve it. And so, you know, that's one of the, I wanted to go back to that because I know there's people that could relate to that. And what is some advice that you would give, you know, anyone of you on the line that you would give to someone that may find it hard to, you know, you've gone through, you learned how to put yourself first and, you know, you've already moved past that, been there, done it, and got it. And then you take on this new role, and it's like, okay, you know, where am I at now? And I'm back at this place where I've, you know, now I feel bad putting myself first again, and I don't, you know, I you know, got to take care of this, got to take care of that. So that's where I wanted to comment on that and just get advice back from you all.
Well, I've got something to share on that.
Go ahead, okay. Mark.
Yeah, sorry. I spent most of my life as Robert the Robot, you know. Like Peter would phone up and say, hey, my combi's broken down. I'd say, righto, Peter, I'll be right round. I might be in the middle of dinner, but I'd, you know, drop that and go around and fix his combi and come back to a cold dinner. And then I woke up one day realizing that, you know, something would happen in my life and it would trigger a response in me. And I was just Robert the Robot, you know. And I'm still very helpful now. I'm still very helpful. But I just interpose one step in the process. Now, when somebody needs my assistance or my help or whatever it is, like Peter phoned again and said, oh, the company's broken down again. And my response this time was, hey, Peter, I can't get there right now. How about 2:30 this afternoon? Is that okay with you? You know, because I wanted to finish my dinner. I wanted to meet my need first. And so that's the fundamental change that I made in my own behavior. But also, if I'm faced in a situation where, you know, I have something that I have a need to meet, but like if I'm arrived at a traffic accident, you know, and there's somebody bleeding on the ground, you know, I might need to go, my body might need to pee, but the situation dictates that I need to go and give assistance to this person on the side of the road to stop them bleeding to death. But I just make sure that I make it a conscious choice. So I recognize my need. Oh, I'm busting for a pee. But if I don't act quickly, this person's going to die. So I make it a conscious choice and not, you know, not a reaction. So I think that's important, you know. But if your natural reaction is to put somebody else first, then if you don't look after yourself, how can you look after your baby? If you don't love yourself, how can you love anybody else? You know. So yeah, and as we're getting towards the end of the program, Stacey and Tiffany, I'd just like to thank you, ladies, from the bottom of my heart, for holding this space, this beautiful, equitable forum. Of how can I put it, emotional maturity. It's like this is a gathering in the council of the elders, you know, just sharing the talking stick. And you know, I've contributed to over 200 radio shows, And the format you're using here is my ideal format and is very, very rare. So I thank you very much, so much, for holding such an equitable forum where it is a safe space for people to share their own truth. Because I found the most important thing that humans need is simply the acceptance and validation of their own reality. So thank you, ladies. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I wish there was more platforms like this. Because I believe that through sharing our stories, we help to heal each other. Because we all hold a piece of the puzzle, don't we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I got tears in my eyes.
Oh,
I love
thank
my,
you.
My tears of joy cleanse my soul.
Thank you. Thank you. Caller 706, did you have a comment?
You know, that.
Are you got tears in your eyes too?
I'm just saying that's what life is all about, is being able to, you know, reach someone in that deep place within them that we don't trust others to be able to even get close to, but to be able to form a bond in such a way because our life's experiences have come to an intersection where we all found out we're all pretty much the same. It's just we all have a different road to travel, but the processes we use to get us to the places where we're okay have all pretty much been the same. And that is, you know, phenomenal. And I wanted to speak to, you know, Tiffany, and she was just, you know, had a question about what happens when you're always putting others first and that time comes where you feel a sense that you need to, you know, put yourself first. When it comes to our lives, and we are done here, and our work here is done on earth. Like I said, I'm a spiritual person, and we stand before the Father in judgment. We have to give an account for the things we did. There is no one else present but us on that day of us giving an account. The only one that is there to speak on our behalf is our Savior, you know, Jesus Christ. But we have to give an account for how we spend our time here on earth. So if you feel there are things that you need to be doing, then I would say by all means, you know, position yourself to be able to start to do those things if you haven't already done so. Because nobody knows how many days we have here on this earth, and you don't want that time to come to an end and you have those regrets of, I wish I would have did this, and I certainly could have done that, and I should, but I didn't do this. And that's all you're going to have is the ifa, the wouldas, the couldas, and the shouldas, and they're going to outweigh the things that you did do because you're not going to feel fulfilled and satisfied with what you did do.
That's all that is awesome. What I would like to share on that, I'm going to go back to when you said study long, study wrong. If you think about it too hard, then you talk yourself out of it. And usually, and I was like that, always giving of myself to other people and giving myself to other people. And then I look back, and now I'm lacking, and when I wanted to do something for myself, I found it hard to do something for myself, like buy clothes and things like that. And one day I looked up, and I was an emotional wreck. I was, I don't want to say I was depressed, but an emotional wreck, where I was in such a codependent state, I depended on doing things for other people to validate me. I had no time for myself, and I had to do some soul searching. And when I really needed something, and I had to realize that I was doing it, one day I went in the store and I went to buy me something, and the guilt that I felt just to buy myself something was so overwhelming. But if somebody asked me for something, I was the first one to give it. And I had to ask myself, where did that come from? Why do I feel like I have to always deny myself of things? What is that all about, where I can't take care of me? And when I got into a place where I lost everything, I had to realize that if I'm the foundation and the foundation breaks, everything's going to fall apart. So why not take care of the foundation? And I had to take baby steps. And when I say baby steps, I had to literally go into the store and make myself buy something and enjoy it and enjoy taking care of me. And that's a part of loving self, and that's a part of to thine own self be true, that I can help you, but as I help you, I'm still going to take care of me. As I'm giving to you, I'm still going to give to me. And why can't I, if I can bless you, why can't I bless me? If I can put gas in your car, why can't I turn around and put gas in my own car? If I can buy you something, why can't I turn around and buy me something? And I learned, as much as I enjoy blessing other people, I had to turn around and, like Bob said, find that zone that I can get in and enjoy myself, enjoy pouring into myself as I pour into others and pour into myself. And that's what I teach women. Learn to love yourself where you are. Where's the fun? Enjoy the funness of you. How do you have fun? Oh, I got to give to this, and I got to give to that person. But when do you give back to yourself? Because if you deplete yourself of everything that you have, who's pouring into you? We always look for other people to pour into us, but how do you pour into yourself? And I learned how to pour into myself. And another thing is boundaries. There has to be boundaries. Even when your role changes, there still has to be boundaries. It still has to be some self-care. One of my daughters, she texted me, and she said, remember self-care. Remember to take care of yourself, because you only get one you, and there is no do-overs. You only get one of you. You got to take care of yourself. Whatever that looks like, you have to take care of yourself, and you can't worry about taking care of everybody else, because we're just made to do that, to take care of others, but in that, we cannot forget about ourselves. So in closing of this program, I think, you know, we need to talk about when roles change and boundaries and what boundaries, you know, really look like moving forward. And I want to thank everybody for calling in and listening in. And I want to thank, you know, my husband for his support and everybody that's supporting. And I want to thank Bob, you know, for what he shared, you know, just a platform for people to speak their truth. And I'm so glad that, you know, he takes the time out all the way from Australia to listen in and to, you know, just drop pearls of wisdom. It's liberating, is exciting, it's very encouraging. I have my notes like everybody else, but it's also, you know, fulfilling. So I want to thank everybody, and, you know, I just want to thank everybody, and be here next week, same time, same place, at 1:30, and this is, you know, the focus factor, where we empower, inspire, and encourage you to soar, because our main goal is that you be the best version of you possible, so you can move forward. Speak your truth. Stay strong in this season. We love you. Continue to listen in. We'll be back next Saturday, same time, same place, 1:30 on the Focus Factor. This is Stacy Johnson. Love you, love you, love you. Tiffany, you want to say something before we close out?
Love you all. Thank you so much again for such a wonderful show. It was beautiful. Everything that was said was very encouraging. I can't wait until next weekend. See you all back then. And you all enjoy your day.
She's just a girl and she's on fire.